The mark of a life governed by the Holy Spirit. The mark of a life governed by the Holy Spirit. That's point five. We gave you 4 points up to this point. The last one was to get to work to conform us to Christ. He's endeavoring to get us conformed to Christ. Point five is that we need our lives governed by the Holy Spirit. The mark of a life governed by the Holy Spirit. And we'll see that if you look at page 9, the middle of page 9, and we read this Tuesday, under the preeminent mark of a life governed by the Spirit, it says, the mark of a life governed by the Holy Spirit is that such a life is continually and ever more and more occupied with Christ. That Christ is becoming greater and greater as time goes on. Now, I want you to write that down. The mark of a life, matter of fact, you can just copy that or just highlight it. You don't have to write it down if you want to, but you need to write number five in your book. That's point five. The mark of a life governed by the Holy Spirit. You see that? Everybody see it on page 9? You see that? You need to get that in your spirits. You need to ask the Lord to put that in your heart. That the mark of a life governed by the Spirit is that that life is continually and ever more and more occupied with Christ, that Christ is becoming greater and greater as time goes on. The effect of the Holy Spirit's work in us is to bring us to that shore of a mighty ocean, which we talked about. Now, that will happen in your life. You can expect that. And so as you look back over your Christian experience, if you're not seeing that, there's something amiss. There's something wrong. Because the Holy Spirit comes to reveal Christ to us. That is the work of the Holy Spirit. He's come in this earth to reveal Christ to us. And we're going to talk about that in just a few minutes. So you should come to a point in your Christian walk, and this is the school of Christ. And once again, remember, the school of Christ is a place where we're brought to. The Holy Spirit is determined to bring us as children of God. He's determined. It's not something we kind of stumble up on. One day we kind of stumble into the school of Christ, and we all of a sudden are reminded that we need to be in this school. And obviously we're not talking about the natural physical school here, but that we need to be in this school. The Holy Ghost is determined to bring us into this school. Determined. And so every person that's truly born again, the Holy Ghost wants to mark you. And that mark is that your life is being governed by the Spirit, and that you're more and more becoming occupied with the person of Jesus Christ. And more you're being drawn to Him. And as time goes on, greater and greater is the person of Christ being revealed in and through your life. That is not by happen chance. That is a work of the Spirit. It is not based on our intellect or our ability or our inability. It's based on the determination of the Holy Spirit and our simply yielding to that prompting and to the Spirit. Now, when do we yield? Do we yield when we're in church on Sunday? No, Christianity is every day of our lives. And some of the greatest work that you'll have done in your lives is in the Mondays and Thursdays and Tuesdays, in the daily life, in the simple things of life, when the Holy Spirit has you in a school. It's not just in this class or in church or when you're praying or when you're singing, but it's in everything you do. The Holy Spirit never vacates. He never takes off. He's always effectually doing a work, Paul said, in you. So these little things that people over the years have just kind of pushed aside and said, that's not important. Remarks, attitudes, things that arise that we handle by the flesh. Be careful, because those things many times are the very things the Holy Spirit would have used to have conformed you, to have moved you even deeper into the things of God. How else is He going to work? And once again, it's not that always that supernatural movings of the Spirit. We learned Sunday that many times it's just simply obedience, childlike obedience. So when you get in the situations when you want to say this, or you feel like you have a right to react like that, be careful, because Jesus hung on the cross for your sins. So we don't have a right, do we? Because we have been bought with a price, we say, the price of His blood. So the Holy Spirit is determined, and I know we've said this, but the Holy Spirit is determined to bring you to school, that we may know Him in a deeper and a greater way. Now, how is all this going to get accomplished? By what means are we going to get to know Him? And we read in Philippians 3, we've read this part here about the preeminent mark of a life governed by the Spirit. We're not going to read back through that today. But how is this going to be accomplished? How are you going to get to know the Lord in a greater way? Now, take your Bibles, go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. King James. 2 Corinthians 5. How are we going to get to know Him? Everybody with me so far? Okay. How are we going to get to know the Lord? How is this going to be accomplished in our lives? Now, verse 14, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Now read verse 16 again. Paul saying, henceforth know we no man after the flesh. And then he makes a statement. He said, now, there was a time, let me read it to you, and I paraphrase it. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now know we him no more. So Paul here was alluding to the fact that there was a time that when Jesus walked on the earth, that they knew him by the flesh. But yet Paul is also saying now, but we still know him. We know him now. And he's not on the earth by the flesh, but we still know him. But we know him no more by the flesh. So what Paul, and we'll get to this, what Paul is simply saying here, and the word of God substantiates this all through the word, that we now know him by the Spirit. We no longer know him by the flesh, we know him by the Spirit. Now, in verse 15, there's something here we need to know. Now, if Paul is referring here in verse 16, and I believe that he is, that as we're brought into the school of Christ, and I use those words because that's where we're at and that's what it is. As we're brought into the school of Christ, Paul would go on to say, I want to know this man. Okay? Paul is saying here to us that we have known him in the past by the flesh, but we know him no more by the flesh, but we will know him. So Paul here is telling us how he, when he said, I want to know the Lord, he's showing us here how we get to know him. It's by the Spirit. Okay? But now look at verse 15. He died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Now, when you look at verse 15, Paul is showing us there's two ways to live. Now, one we know is not real life, it's life that goes to death. But there's two ways in verse 15 Paul says that a man can choose to go. And notice here, Paul is talking about the Spirit has been given, we'll no longer know him by the flesh, but we'll know him by the Spirit. So there's two ways here that Paul says we can live. The first way, notice the wording here, that they which live should not live henceforth unto themselves. So he's saying there that there is a way a man can live, that he lives unto who? Unto himself. He lives unto himself. And look at the word but. You might want to circle that. But unto him which died for them and rose again. Notice the wording here. We should not live unto themselves, but unto him. So there's two ways. We can live unto ourselves, or we can live unto Christ. You see that? Very simple. We can choose to live unto ourselves, or we can choose to live unto Christ. That's the two paths that people choose. Now, when you come to the school of Christ, it's obvious that the Holy Spirit is going to get you to know the person of Christ, that you choose to live unto him. Because you can put the word live right there after the word but live unto him. Don't live unto yourself, but live unto him. So how are we going to live unto him? We're going to live unto him by the promptings of the Holy Spirit. Now, I want you to go with me to go back to Philippians and get your paper out that you have. And I want to show you something. Do you see those two ways? Everybody see that? You see that very plainly? Live unto themselves or live unto him. And this is during the dispensation of the Holy Spirit, when the Holy Spirit is here to teach us, to get us to Christ by the Spirit. Now, in Philippians chapter 3, we see those same two ways again. All right, let's go to verse 16. Now, we know that we read this yesterday, Tuesday, about how Paul said, I want to know him. Now, look right here before you start reading. Paul in Philippians 3 said, I want to know Jesus. I am willing to count everything behind me, in front of me, everything I possess as dung. I'll forget it all. I'll count it as nothing. I want to know him. I want to be found in him. My determined purpose is that I may know him, that I may progressively become more deeply, intimately acquainted with him. So when you read Philippians, Paul's whole thought is, I want to know this man, Jesus Christ. Okay? But then he's going to show us, just like he did in 2 Corinthians 5, there's two ways that a man can choose to go. All right. So we see in verse 16, with all that in mind, that Paul wants to know him, and he's speaking to the church now. Isn't Paul speaking to the church in Philippians? Sure he is. He's talking to the church that we should desire to know him. He says in verse 16, only let us hold true to what we have already attained and walk and order our lives by that. Brethren, together follow my example and observe those who lived after the pattern we have set for you. Now, what he's saying there is that I, in Philippians 3, have shown you the pattern. The pattern, very simply, and not only in Philippians 3, but all through his teachings, but he expounds upon it here. The pattern is that we should know the person of Jesus Christ. Our heart throb as a Christian should be to know this person, to count all things done, to count all things behind us, leave those things that we may win, that we may know progressively, more deeply, the person of Christ. So then he says, hold true to what we've already obtained and walk. And then he says, follow my example. So what's his example? That we may know him, right? That we may know him. And 16 says, walk and order our lives by that. This is the first way to walk. The same thing he said in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 15. Live unto him. So here in verse 16, he's saying, walk and order your lives by that. We should walk. And any time you see the word walk in the Word of God, it's a progression. It is a progression. It is not a sitting still, because walking is not sitting still. It's a moving forward. So he's saying here we should be progressing, we should be maturing, and we should be advancing, ordering our lives by that. And Paul was bold enough to say, follow my example. Why? Because Paul knew he wanted to know Christ. So Paul said, as I follow the promptings of the Holy Spirit to know the person of Christ, to forget all things behind, to count all things done, he said, you follow my example as I follow the promptings of the Holy Spirit. You walk and order your lives by that. Okay? But then he tells us another way to walk, that people can choose to walk. For there are many of whom I have often told you, and now tell you, notice this next phrase, and now tell you even with tears. He said, I have tried to tell you before, and I'm going to tell you now. And he was saying, I say it with tears. I say it with tears, who walk and live as enemies of the cross of Christ, the Anointed One. Now, what Paul was simply saying here, that there were teachers, there were those that were teaching adverse to what Paul's example was. Now, what was Paul's example again? Somebody tell me. What was Paul's example? What was Paul's order of life? What did I just tell you? Tim? To know Christ. And how do we know Christ? Follow what? So he said, as I follow the promptings of the Holy Spirit, you follow me. As I want to know Christ, you order your life by that. He said, but there are those out there that tell you, and I tell you with tears, who walk, notice the word here again, who walk, they live as enemies of the cross of Christ, the Anointed One. Then he's going to tell us how they walk. Here's how they walk. This is opposite, if you get this, this is opposite of walking by the promptings of the Holy Spirit. He says they are doomed, and their fate is eternal misery, perdition. And here's how they walk. Their God is their stomach, their appetites, their sensuality, and they glory in their shame, siding with earthly things and being of their party. Now, what is Paul saying here? Is Paul being hard? Is Paul being harsh here? How dare Paul use these kind of words? And that's real close to the original Greek here, what we just read to you, what Paul was saying. Paul was simply saying this. He's saying there are those that are teaching you, he was saying, that are not following the promptings of the Holy Spirit that will bring them to a place of knowing the person of Christ more intimate. They may be, quote unquote, and he's talking to the church now, and he's talking to those that are teaching. Teaching what? The Bible. He said there are those that are teaching you, but in actuality they are enemies of the cross. For their walk, their lives, their whole progression is being led by the promptings of their flesh. Their bellies, their appetite, their sensualities, they side with earthly things. Instead of siding with the prompting of the Holy Spirit, they follow the leading of the flesh. And he was simply saying, if you'll look at their lives, you'll see it. If you'll be around them, you'll see that they're not being led by the promptings of the Holy Spirit. Their daily walk, just to observe them, to be around them, is obvious that they're being led by the flesh. They're not being led by the Spirit of God. They're not being led by the promptings. And what Paul is really driving home is this. He's not here trying to be critical. He's not here trying to be smart, obviously. But he's simply saying that true Christianity is one thing. It's getting to know the person of Jesus Christ. And there's nothing within us to do that. And the only way we can do that is to be following the promptings of the Holy Spirit. Because we no more know Him by the flesh. We now know Him by the Spirit. And if Paul wants to know Him, if a Tom wants to know Him, if a Teresa wants to know Him, the only way you should know Him is to follow the promptings of the Holy Spirit. But the moment you start following your appetites, your sensuality, your fleshly desires, your siding with earthly things, you've deviated and you're not walking after that order. Now have, in your own personal lives, have you seen your progression and your maturity stumped and staled and stopped because you look back and say, well, I obviously wasn't being led of the Lord. I was still living my life by the flesh. My life was more dictated by the flesh. And He said it, I didn't. Appetites, the stomach, the sensual things, the earthly passions. I can see where I can take a 24-hour period of time and I can look at my life and I can compare how much I was led of the Spirit versus how much I walked in the flesh. And I looked and realized, man, I was walking a lot more in the flesh than I was in the Spirit. And then I wonder why I wasn't growing and maturing. I wonder why I wasn't advancing. But Paul was saying, follow my example. Paul was saying, I've come through a long life and there's still a great desire in my heart to know Him. That's why Jesus came full of grace and truth. He came to tell us the truth and give us the grace to live by the truth. And so what you need to do, if you're here that way, you just need to say, Lord, forgive me. I repent. I don't want to live my life that way. I want to live my life not unto myself, but unto Jesus. Doesn't mean you're going to become perfect tomorrow, but it does mean this. You're going to let the grace of God and the Holy Spirit make you more aware of the promptings of the Holy Ghost and more able to follow that versus your own leading and your own fleshly ways. Over and over, you've seen that in people's lives. The appetite, and I'm not trying to make a play on one particular thing. I'm just using that word because it's there. And I'm not just saying the appetite as far as literal food. He is talking about that, but it's not just food. It's not just literal physical food. There's other appetites that people have in their lives that are fleshly, and they feed it all the time. And they feed that part of their lives more than they do the spiritual man. And what you feed is what you become. What you eat is what you become. Naturally, physically, and spiritually. What you eat is what you become. And we've said before, you can sit there in that house and you set your eyes on something 3 or 4 hours a day and you're spending 2 and 3 hours a day on certain things. I'm telling you, your whole focus and your whole life versus prayer and trying to study the Bible, you'll start to become like that. And you'll start to deviate from the Word of God and walking in the Spirit. Amen? And that's what Paul's saying. He said, we don't know Him by the flesh no more. We're not following a man after flesh. We're following by the Spirit. I don't see Christ here in this church this morning. I don't see Him walking down that aisle, so I can't get right in behind Him and follow Him. He said, but I'm prompted by the Holy Ghost, and every time I see the prompting of the Holy Spirit, I'm going to follow that. And I'm going to choose to live and dictate and order my life by that. Once again, who do we have teaching us? The Holy Ghost. Who do we have prompting us? The Holy Ghost. That when the earth was without form and void, the Holy Ghost was there to create the whole world. Jesus Christ was born of a Virgin Mary. The Holy Ghost overshadowed Mary. That's the same Holy Ghost that's here today to prompt Him, to prompt Brother Tom, to prompt Mr. Edmund, to prompt us in our daily lives. And He is patient. He is long-suffering. He is kind. He is gentle. He is all those things. He comes to teach, to lead, to guide, that we may be trained in the ways of God. He doesn't just come one time and say, well, you missed it. I'm forsaking you. No, He comes over and over to bring us to that place where we can walk and be led by the Spirit of God. Now, do you see that? Do you see those two ways? You see those two ways. So why shouldn't we choose? Why shouldn't we choose to walk after the Spirit of God and not the earthly and the fleshly way? And you can see people's lives and you see and you say that there's something wrong. There's something amiss. There's no way that their lives should be so out of control. The Holy Ghost is not out of control. The Holy Ghost is in order. The Holy Ghost is not out of control. But see what that will do. If we're living in the flesh and we refuse to adhere to the Word of God, it will bring that heaviness on us
And then we start to say, well, I'll never live that way. And all that is the flesh endeavoring to hold on to what it's got. If you'll think about what we're saying, the Holy Ghost has come to set you free. The Holy Ghost didn't come to condemn you. He came to show you a better way. He came to show you, as Paul said, I want you to know Christ, and I've got a pattern and a way to walk and an order of life that you can follow and be prompted by and learn how not to follow the dictates of your natural man, but follow the dictates of your spiritual man and become like Jesus Christ. And it is a process that we learn, but there is a place that we come to, saints, that we should have learned and put aside the milk and pick up the meat of the Word. There comes that place, amen, as we said, in the natural. Now, are you with me? Did that make sense? Do you see those two ways? Have you seen it obvious in the body of Christ? Once again, he's talking to the church here. Have you seen those two ways obvious in the body of Christ that men choose to live in the earthly? They side with the earthly versus the spiritual, and their lives are seemingly a continual merry-go-round. They're always spinning their wheels, never going anywhere. And many times they get tired of that. They get tired of it. They get tired of spinning their wheels. And they eventually backslide and go their merry way because they get tired of that. But you don't have to. You can choose, say, Lord, thank you. Thank you for the Holy Spirit. I don't know anything. I don't know how to walk. But the Holy Spirit's been sent back by that Christ that was crucified. He sent back the promise of the Father. And that promise of the Father wasn't just to stir joy. It wasn't just to stir excitement. But it was to teach me, to lead me, guide me, prompt me. That when I was going wrong, he said, don't go that way, go this way. Isn't it nice to know that he don't just say no, but he shows you the other way to go? He don't just slap us down and say, don't do that, you're a bad boy. He said, don't do that, my son. Here's the path, walk in it right here. He's always got the other way to walk in that we can order our lives by. It's never just a slap in the face and don't do this because I said don't do it. It said this is the wrong way. Go down this path and you won't know my son because I'm on a mission. The Holy Ghost is on a mission, Mr. Tom. The Holy Ghost is on a mission. He came, first of all, to convict you of your sin and convince you of your need of a Savior. He convinces us that we have need of a Savior. When we accept Him, then the grace of God comes in our hearts and our lives, gives us the power to become the sons of God, and the Holy Ghost begins to teach and train and guide us that we may know a person that's no longer here by the flesh, but is here and taught by the Spirit. Amen? By the Spirit. That's what the Holy Ghost has come to do. That should encourage us. So Paul said here in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 16, for henceforth know we no man after the flesh, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we Him no more. Now, go to John 6. John 6. Any questions? Is that simple enough? Shouldn't we follow Paul's example? Did Paul give us an example? Did Paul give us a pattern to walk by? And he's simply saying, follow this pattern. Paul wasn't saying, look at me as some superhero or some super saint. That's not what he was saying. He was saying, follow my example. And I guarantee you, Paul would have told them that if I ever deviate from this and follow the promptings of the Holy Ghost, if you ever see me follow my own selfish ways, don't follow me. You follow the promptings of the Holy Ghost. But as long as I'm following that, step right in order. Let's go. Let's go. Amen. So John 6, once again, we know Him no longer by the flesh, we know Him by the Spirit. And that's how we're going to be conformed. That's how we're going to know Him. That's how we're going to be progressively become more intimately acquainted with Him. All right? Now Jesus Christ in John 6 had just told the disciples that whosoever eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day, for my flesh is my meat indeed, and my blood is my drink. And if you study that, you don't have to read it, but if you study that, what Christ was saying, He said, you have to eat my flesh and drink my blood. And what Christ was saying was that I am all you need. That's it. That's all He was saying was, I'm all you need. You need nothing else. And many, if not most, turned away from Him that day and walked no more with Him because they said it was a hard saying. And who can hear it? And they didn't understand it. And so most of them turned away and didn't walk anymore with Him. But Jesus explains it in verse 61. When Jesus knew in Himself that His disciples murmured at it, He said unto them, does this offend you? What and if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend up where He was before? And He knew this was going to happen. What's going to happen? You can't do this. What's you going to happen? If you can't know me, I'm right here in the flesh. And if you can't understand what I'm saying now by the flesh, I'm standing here in front of you. And all I'm telling you is that I'm all you need. And they didn't understand it. And He was standing right in front of them. He said, if you can't understand this, what and if you shall see the Son of Man ascend where he was before? What are you going to do when I leave and I'm no longer here? Notice what he says. It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. I believe he was giving them a prelude to the fact that when he ascends, you'll no longer know me by the flesh because it profits you nothing, but you'll know me by the Spirit. The Spirit of God will come to teach you and to quicken you and bring you life, because the words I speak, they are spirit and they are life. And the Spirit of God will come to lead and guide us. He's ascended. Amen. He has ascended. And now the Spirit of God is here to lead and guide and to teach us all things about the person of Christ. So how are we going to know Him more progressively? By the Spirit. The Spirit's going to quicken us. The Spirit's going to teach us. The Spirit's going to prompt us. And as we follow these promptings, the Holy Ghost is determined to get us to the person of Jesus Christ. He's got a one-track mind. He's getting to Jesus. He's getting us to Jesus. Skint knees and all, He's getting us to Jesus Christ. If we follow Him and His promptings. Now, any questions? Is that simple enough? Did I take that? And is that simple enough? You understand that? How are we going to get to Christ? By the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God is going to quicken and teach us. The Spirit of God has descended from heaven. He's ascended, but the Spirit has descended, and we're being taught, we're being led, we're being guided, we're being prompted by the Holy Spirit. And where is the Holy Spirit taking us? To Jesus. He wants us to know Jesus. Amen? Okay, now let's go to our book. Top of page 11. And we're going to read some in the book, and we're going to step into another little different area. Let's go back to the top of the bottom of page 10. We'll stop at that last paragraph. Yes, then, but having this presentation, the basic lesson begins. The Holy Spirit is not satisfied with just giving us a great presentation. He's going to begin real work in relation to that presentation. And we are under His hand, brought to two or three basic things in our spiritual education. Okay, so here we go. My aim in cooperation with the Lord is to make everything preeminently practical. So we apply the challenge immediately, and I ask you, is the Holy Spirit within you presenting God's fullness in His Son in an ever-growing way? Is that the nature of your spiritual life? Now notice his question here. Is the Holy Spirit in? And that's why I took the time to, and there was many more scriptures we could have used. Many of you could have quoted scriptures. There's many scriptures we could have alluded to the fact that the Holy Spirit has been sent back. But I want you to get that picture of the two ways that he mentions in 2 Corinthians 5, he mentions in Philippians, it's mentioned in other places. The two ways we can choose to walk. We can choose to walk by the promptings of the Spirit, or we can choose to walk and side with earthly things. The flesh profits us nothing. It brings death. That way brings no life. Listen carefully. It brings no life. It brings religious activities. It brings works. And let me just inject this. I don't get too deep in this. I was sharing somebody about this yesterday. When you study Galatians, when Paul talked about the works of the flesh versus the fruit of the Spirit, when you really study that, there's two words there that really come alive. Works and fruits. When Paul said the works of the, when Paul talked about the flesh, he said they're works. But when he talked about the Spirit, he said they are fruits. And if you think about it, all the works of man, the works of the flesh that man does not produce life. It produces religious works, but it doesn't produce the life of Christ. And I'll give you an example why. Because all the works of man are from death, and they produce death. If I was to come here, and I'm going to give you a natural example. If we were to build this church today, everything we have to use within this church, that we would do it by man, everything in this church is dead. The trees had to die for this lumber to be cut and built. Everything is from death. Everything from the side of man, all the works, the works of the flesh. Works of the flesh create death. But when he started talking about the Spirit, he said fruits, because fruit is alive. Fruits come from life. Fruit comes from a tree being planted in the soil, its roots growing deep, the tree growing, the tree being cultivated, the tree being nurtured, the tree having to be rained upon, the sun, its fruit. It all has to do with life. Everything about life. And anything we do in church, outside of church, that is not by the Spirit, it looks good and sounds good, but it does not bring us to a place
where the life of Christ is evident and produced. It's just religious works. There's no life. There's no spirit. And so these two ways, they either produce death or they produce life. They're either works of the flesh, and there's many works of the flesh that look good. This building looks nice. There's many works of the flesh that looks good. And the same is in the church. It looks good. It sounds good. It has all the outward accolades and all the outward promptings and all the, but it's not prompted by the Spirit. And it doesn't have the life of Christ. So those are the two ways that we talked about. Now, the Holy Spirit within us is endeavoring to bring us to the fullness of the Son, Jesus Christ. And He asked us the question, is the Holy Spirit within you presenting God's fullness in His Son in an ever-growing way? Is that the nature of your spiritual life? And I said that again because if you're following the promptings of the Holy Spirit, that will be the nature of our spiritual lives. We're getting to know Him. Why? Because we're not dealing with someone here that's missed the boat. We're not dealing with someone here that doesn't have it all together. We're dealing with the Holy Ghost that knows all things and everything about Christ. And He'll reveal the Son to us. He doesn't desire to hold back the person of Christ. He wants to reveal Him to us. So if we choose to go that way, we will have this as an ever-growing way in our lives. So ask yourself the question, is that the nature of your spiritual life? Are you following the way of life? If not, then you must have something definite exercise before the Lord about it. Brother Sparks said there's something wrong. He said there's something wrong. If that's not happening in your life, if there's not an ever-growing fullness of Christ, if that's not the nature of your spiritual life, he says there's something wrong. There's something wrong in our lives. Then he tells us why. He said the anointing means that. And if that is not the nature of your spiritual life, there is something wrong in your case in relation to anointing. He's talking about the anointing here now, and that's what the anointing does. It brings you into the fullness of the person of Christ. It's not a continual spinning of your wheels. Thank God we don't have to spin our wheels. It doesn't matter how many hundreds have spinned their wheels, doesn't mean you have to. Doesn't mean how many, no matter how many's got on the merry-go-round, doesn't mean we have to get on the merry-go-round. Amen? Because the anointing means that. And we're going to talk about that in just a minute. To Nathanael, the Lord Jesus said, henceforth, and our old English word is hereafter, but I think many people have mistakenly thought that means life, the afterlife. Ye shall see the heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. Hereafter, of course, was the immediate hereafter, the days of the Holy Spirit, which were coming so soon. With an open heaven you see, and you see God's meaning concerning His Son. Now I'll read that to you again. Ye shall see the heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. Hereafter, of course, was the immediate hereafter, the days of the Holy Spirit, which were coming so soon. So once again, we're right back to the part where we no longer know Him by the flesh, but we know Him by the Spirit. He ascended, He sent back the Holy Ghost, so that the Holy Spirit anointing still comes upon Christ. It came upon Him at the River Jordan when John baptized Him, and God said, this is My beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. The angel or the dove descended upon Him. That was the anointing from that day forth. And don't you know that 30 years prior, you hear nothing about Christ. But the Holy Ghost comes on Him, and now for 3 years, under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, He transforms lives, He touches heart, He raises the dead, He heals the sick, because He's under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. The direct open heaven, the dove descending, He's under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. But He's no longer here in the flesh. He's in heaven. But we can still have an open heaven experience because Christ lives where? In us. So the Spirit now ascends or descends and anoints the Christ that's within us. Now listen, that open heaven for the Lord Jesus was the anointing. The Spirit descended and lighted upon Him. It was the anointing, and it's the same for us. The open heaven is the anointing of the Spirit from the day of Pentecost onward upon the Christ within us. That open heaven means a continual, look at this, notice these words, means a continual growing revelation of Christ. That's Bible. That's the Word of God. Not just, I mean, I know Brother Sparks said that, but that's the whole tenor and the whole attitude of the Word of God. That the Holy Ghost wasn't just sent for us to talk in tongues. It wasn't just sent for us to have a Pentecostal experience. It was sent to anoint the Christ within us that in a greater and a greater and a greater way we know Him and become more like Him. Oh, let me urge this. I am brought back to urge this. We must not just add other things too soon, but make sure that we are right on these matters. The open door at once brings God's revelation in Christ to your very door. It makes it available to you so that you're not dependent in the first place upon libraries, upon books, upon addresses, or upon anything else. It is there for you. You see what he's saying? That we don't have to depend upon all those things. Our dependency is in the Holy Ghost. That's why he can come to the most lowest, the most beaten down, the most illiterate, the person on the street that knows nothing about anything, so to speak, or the person that has a job that knows nothing about Christianity. He can save that person and by the Spirit bring a fresh revelation of the person of Jesus Christ. He may not have a library, he may not study all the books, but yet he knows him by the Spirit, by the Spirit. And the same is true today. And we will not know Him by any other means. We may know about Him. We may read books and know about Him. We may preach about Him. We may preach good sermons and pray good prayers and sing good songs. But the anointing is upon knowing Him, the person of Christ. And that's what Brother Sparks is driving home. That we by the Spirit can know Him. And that's why I said this last night after Pastor Jose shared to encourage you. That he was always there. There was three things. Christ, a need, but there was always a distraction. A distraction away from Jesus. And if you're distracted, you'll never really know him. You may know about him, but you'll never know him. You see, the Holy Ghost wants you to know him. And you gotta spend time with him. Not talking about him, not singing about him, but spending time with him. For their hearts burn when they heard him speak. And the best place for you to hear him talk is in the prayer closet. With the door shut. You're going to have to take some time to spend with him. And when you hear his voice in the prayer closet, you have the passion. Your heart will burn. There will be no such thing as preaching or singing or witnessing without passion. Impossible. If you're hearing from him, he'll put a passion in your heart. He'll put a fire in your life. And it's by the Spirit, praise God. By the Spirit. So he says here, Brother Clark says, we can't get away from this. It's an open heaven. It's an open heaven. And he uses Nathanael here as an example. So let's go to John 1 real quick. John chapter 1. Let me show you this. Of what he's talking about here about the open heaven. And he's speaking to Nathanael. How many of you know that you have a need of an open heaven experience? It's ours if we receive to embrace it. Upon the Christ that's within us. Upon the Christ that's here. That's what the anointing is. The anointing is not that hooey gooey goosebumps and all that. That's not the anointing. It's not feeling the hairs on the back of your head and the shout. That's good. And sometimes the anointing may be some effect of it. But the anointing, the true anointing is upon the person of Christ within you and giving you a fresher revelation of the person of Christ. And it's not temporal. It's not surface emotion. It's long lasting. Praise God. It's long lasting. When the Holy Ghost dropped that seed of Christ into Mary, he still lives today. Amen. He still lives today. He was crucified, but God raised him from the dead because what the Holy Ghost does is everlasting, it's eternal, it's continual, it's progressive, it matures. And so what the Holy Ghost wants to do is, yes, anoint the Christ within you that you may have your eyes open to a greater revelation. So here we go in John chapter 1. Am I going too fast? Are you with me? Am I going too fast? Everybody with me? Okay. How are we going to know him? By the Spirit. And the Spirit's going to give us an open heaven experience that the Spirit is going to anoint the Christ within us to reveal Him to us. Amen. John 1:43. Here's the example. The day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee and finds Philip and said unto him, follow me. Now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip findeth Nathanael and said unto him, we have found him of whom Moses and the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Nathanael said unto him, can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? Philip said unto him, come and see. Nathanael says, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? Come and see. Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him. So here comes Nathanael coming to Jesus. And Jesus saw Nathanael coming and said of him, behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. Now, we know the word there, guile, means dishonesty. So here comes a man walking to Jesus with no dishonesty. No dishonesty. Doesn't say he's saved, doesn't say he's born again, just say he's just an honest man. He's who he is. He doesn't try to hide this or that or try to be superficial or try to hide this or not be transparent. He's very transparent. He's just who he is. I'm this man and he's coming toward Jesus. But Jesus said he has no guile, no dishonesty. Nathanael said unto him, "Whence knowest thou me?" And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Before that Philip called thee, when I was under the fig tree, I saw thee." Isn't that a tremendous statement? He said, "While you were back here under the fig tree, I saw you. I know all about you. I know all about you. And I've already made the statement that there's no dishonesty in you, but I know all about you. When Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you. I saw you." Nathanael said unto him, "Rabbi, thou art the Son of God. Thou art the King of Israel." So he acknowledges who he is. Jesus answered and said unto him. Now, when you read this, he is not just speaking to Nathanael. I believe he's making a broader statement. He's speaking to any person that will come to him with honesty. If you'll just simply come to me with an open heart, this is what will happen to you. "Because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree. Believest thou? Thou shalt see greater things than these." You see, he believed him. He believed him. When Jesus said, "I saw you under that fig tree," he believed that. He said, "Thou art the Son of God. You're the Son of God." He believed what he said. "You saw me under the fig tree. I believe you. You're the Son of God." He said, "You believe me because I said that." He said, "You're going to see greater things than these." He said to him, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter ye shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." And what's he talking about? He's talking about when the Spirit of God is given on the day of Pentecost. Nathanael, you're going to see the heavens open and the Spirit of God ascending on the Christ that is in you. And any man that will come after me and be honest and open and acknowledge that I am the Son of God and believe that, then I shall open up the heavens and greater things than these shall see. You'll have the anointing upon the Christ that is in your life. And that anointing simply means a greater revelation as you progressively walk, not after the flesh, but after that Spirit and that promptings, and not after the sensuality and not after the fleshly things. As you walk down that road, I will in a greater way reveal the person of Christ to you more and more as you walk. That is simple Christianity. That's it. The Holy Ghost anointing the Christ within us, giving us a greater revelation, a greater understanding, a greater hunger, a greater thirst to want to know Him, to live our lives dictated by that, live our lives controlled by that. And we don't have to live in some hut to do that. We can live a normal daily life in life and enjoy life, but yet our whole being is toward knowing the person of Jesus Christ. Do you see this hereafter? Hereafter you shall see the heavens open. Greater things than these shall you see. So are we seeing greater things in our lives? Are we really opening our lives up to the Lord? Are we really being led of the Spirit and being prompted by the Spirit? I want to encourage you today, that's the life that Christ is offering you. That's what Paul was offering the church. And he acknowledged there was two ways. Many go this way, but there is this way you can go. You can go the way of the Spirit. And I'd encourage you, do you see the life that's been offered to us? Do you see the example that's been set before us in Jesus Christ, who was willing to die for our sins? Not only die, but ascend. Send back the Holy Ghost. I've said it before, but Jesus Christ went to the Father, and the Bible says He sent back the promise of the Father. And I believe that the Father literally gave it to Christ, and He sent it back. And as He reached to the Father, those nail scars were in His hands. By the very men that had cursed Him, Jesus Christ looked to the Father for the promise of the Holy Ghost. And I don't know if He literally took the promise, but if you can picture this, He reached out to the Father, and as He did, those nail scars are in His hands, put there by men that had cursed Him. But Jesus, sitting there full of mercy and full of grace, said, "Give me the promise, and I'm going to send it back to the earth. These same men that cursed me can be convicted by this promise, and not only convicted of their sins, but the Spirit will save them. And then when the Spirit saves them, He's going to show them a way they can live their life to know me." That's Christianity. That's all He did. "I'm going to send back the promise of the Father, the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is going to convict those men." And that's what happened on the day of Pentecost when those 120 got filled with the Holy Ghost. Peter walked out, preached, 3,000 got saved. I wonder how many of those 3,000 had mocked and jeered Him on the way to Calvary. Probably half or more had mocked Christ, had spit upon Him, had cursed Him, had jeered Him. But yeah, now that same Holy Ghost has come and convicted them of their sins. They give their heart to Christ, but it only had just begun. That wasn't the finish. That was the beginning. Now that same Holy Ghost is saying, just like Peter or Paul has said, we knew Him by the flesh, but you're not going to know Him by the flesh, you're going to know Him by the Spirit. Come to Me honestly, and greater things shall you see. I'm going to open up the heavens. You cursed Him, but I'm going to open up the heavens and let you know Him. That's Christianity. That's what's happened to every person that's in the house, that's in this house, that's born again. The Holy Spirit comes, convicts of our sins. We get saved, born again. Now the Holy Ghost has just begun a work. He wants to reveal Christ in and through us. He begins to conform us to Christ. We get a cry in our hearts that we want to know Him. He hears the cry. He runs to the cry. He opens up the heavens. He pours out the Spirit upon the Christ within us. He reveals Christ fresher and fresher in a greater revelation. He shows us a way to walk. The promptings of the Holy Spirit say walk this way. The flesh say walk that way. But we yearn or yield to the promptings of the Holy Ghost instead of the flesh. And as we do, it's a work of the Spirit. It's not anything I do except follow the leading of the Lord. That's it. The work is done by the Spirit, by the grace of God. It's not Mr. Tom all of a sudden getting real good and real knowledgeable and real intellectual and getting it all together. And he said, man, we're going to get something done. Oh, no, it's when Mr. Tom doesn't have it all together and he doesn't know everything. But he says, I see the way. I see the way, and I'm going to walk in this way. And as I walk in this way, I'm trusting the anointing of the Holy Spirit to change me and to totally reveal Christ to me. Skint knees and all. That's why when you're walking down this path, if you skin your knees, get up and keep walking. Amen? Keep walking. Because the Lord, the Holy Spirit, is desiring to reveal the person of Christ to you. One of the scriptures, Acts chapter 2. And I'll stop. Acts chapter 2. Any questions? Everybody with me now? You see that? This is why Peter, when he walked out of the upper room, he preached that first message. When he explained Pentecost. In Acts chapter 2, verse 22. This is what happened to Peter now. He says, ye men of Israel. And what Peter's doing here now is he's explaining Pentecost. The Holy Spirit's descended. That Holy Spirit that filled them with power to live an overcoming life. But yet, the Holy Spirit that would now teach them and lead them into all truth. And who's the truth? Jesus. When the Bible says He'll lead you into all truth, where's He leading you? To Jesus. To Jesus. That's it. And here's Peter out of the upper room, and he's going to explain about Pentecost. And look at what he says. He says, ye men of Israel, Acts 2, verse 22. Hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by Him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know. In other words, he said, God has approved Him. You see that? God approved Him. God said, He's My Son. I have approved Him by the miracles and wonders which He did. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. By the foreknowledge of God. Didn't slip through the fingers of God. God knew it all the time. By the foreknowledge, God knew exactly what was going to take place. Ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. Whom God has raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that He should be holden of it. For David speaking concerning Him, I foresaw the Lord always before My face, for He is on My right hand, that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover also my flesh shall rest in hope, because Thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt Thou suffer Thine Holy One to see corruption. Now David, or Peter here, was quoting David. But he was saying something to us, and I've shared this in a message before. But he was saying something. Peter was making a statement. The reason he quoted David was this. It's the same thing, and we'll stop right here. It's the same thing that Paul had alluded to, that we no more know Him by the flesh. We now know Him by the Spirit. And if ever a man knew Christ by the flesh, it was Peter. If ever a man failed Christ by the flesh, it was Peter. He knew what it was to fail Him. He knew what it was to know Him by the flesh. But Peter's saying, we don't know Him by the flesh anymore. The Holy Ghost has descended. The Holy Spirit has descended. And I don't know Him by the flesh. I know Him by the Spirit. And it didn't. And that's why he quoted David. For he said there in verse 25, for David said concerning Him, I foresaw the Lord always before My face. He is on My right hand, that I should not be moved. What was Peter saying? He says, He is more real to me today. I know He's by my right hand. He's ever before my face more today than He was when I failed Him in the flesh. The Holy Ghost has made Him more real to me today in the streets of Jerusalem by the Spirit than I knew Him when I walked the shores of Galilee with Him. That's what Peter was saying. Peter's encouraging you and I that we can know Him more by the Spirit than they ever dare to know Him by the flesh. And then Peter made that statement that I should not be moved. And you read the book of Acts. Tell me, did you ever see Peter moved again? He was willing to die upside down. Why? Because he's telling us the Holy Ghost will make Christ more real to you. You'll know he's by your right hand. You'll see him face to face, quote unquote. You'll know he's before you at all times to the point that you don't have to be moved. That's good news. That's good news. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. That's what Paul was talking about when he said that I may know him. Paul was not leaning on his own intellect. Catch this and you'll be encouraged. When Paul said I may know him, he wasn't leaning on his own intellect or his own ability, for he had already said, I'm willing to forget everything behind me. It's not based on anything behind me, anything I've got now, or anything I'll ever have. It is based on knowing him by the Spirit. By the Spirit. And that means each one of us here this morning can choose to walk in the promptings of the Holy Ghost and know the person of Jesus Christ and be progressively becoming more intimately acquainted in a deeper and a greater way. That is the school of Christ. Brother Sparks asked us a question. Is that happening in your life? Is that a part of your spiritual walk? He said, if it's not, there's something amiss. But then he gives us the hope. He gives us the hope. Come to him. Come to him honestly. Open your hearts and he'll open the heavens and he'll anoint the Christ that is within you if you're born again. And you'll start to get a fresh revelation of the person of Jesus Christ. And I got good news for you. When you start getting a fresh revelation of a man that will love you enough to die for you, all you want to do is love him back. And that very love that he has for you is what will constrain you, that Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5, that love will constrain you to walk according to the Spirit and not according to the flesh. Just that simple. Nothing complicated. It's not hard. It's not complicated. It's not some great theological dissertation. It is simple. It's a matter of us choosing to walk by the Spirit or by the flesh. And that flesh profits us nothing. But the Spirit is life. It quickens us. It prompts us to move forward that when we truly know the person of Jesus Christ. Well, praise the Lord. It's 11 o'clock. Any questions? Are you getting this? Are you learning something? Are you seeing what Christianity is? Now, you going to put it to use? When are you going to put it to use? Sunday morning church? No, this afternoon. In that situation, it doesn't look spiritual. Doesn't look spiritual at all. Matter of fact, don't. It doesn't look anything like spirituality. But it's the very situations that God will use to show you more of the person of Christ. To show you more of the person of Jesus Christ. So I encourage you in your daily lives, you get right back to the very simplicity of Christianity in your daily lives. Follow the promptings of the Spirit, and you don't have to worry about your intellect or your ability. It's not according to that. It's by the grace of God and by the stirring of the Holy Ghost and the anointing upon the Christ that's in you that you get to know a man that was willing to die for you, even though he knew you, even though we were in sins, he died for us. Why shouldn't I want to know him? Why shouldn't I, as a minister and as a father and as a husband, why shouldn't I want to know this man? Why shouldn't I want to dictate my life according to the promptings of the Holy Ghost? In my failures, in my shortcomings, in all my fleshly flaws, why shouldn't I choose in all that to follow the promptings of the Spirit so that all that could be conformed to the image of Christ? Why should I choose to live for a world that cursed him and spit upon him? Why should I choose to live under the dictates of my flesh that brings nothing but the works of the flesh, which always produce death? Why shouldn't I choose rather than endeavor to bring forth the fruit of the Spirit? And the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love. That's it. Love. All those other things after love is just explaining love. There's one fruit of the Spirit, that's love. If you have this fruit of the Spirit called love, you've got it. All those other words are just adjectives that explains what love is. It's kind, it's gentle, it's long-suffering. That's what love is. And that's the love that'll constrain you to walk in the path of the Spirit versus the path of the flesh. Amen. Isn't it simple, saints? Isn't it simple? It really is. It really is simple. Let's stand. Praise God.